It's time for Breaking Chains with Healthy Monday, where we will discuss spiritual, mental, and physical health issues. It's Breaking Chains with Healthy Monday on YAT Radio.
Good evening. We would like to say welcome to Breaking Chains with Healthy Monday. I am Elder Katrina Kennedy, and we have with us tonight Queen Sheena and King Bo Williams. They're going to get started tonight in talking to us about mental health, something that is most definitely needed in not just the Black community, but in all communities, and how it can affect us, but also on how it can help us. Queen Sheena, are you ready?
Yes, Queen, I am. How are you doing, and how is everybody doing out there tonight?
All is well. All is well. Got a little headache, you know, but, hey, I just think that it's just part of the pressure with all of the air and, you know, heat, change of weather and the rain and everything. So other than that, I can't complain. But I'm excited about what you guys have to share with us tonight. You can
just
take over whenever you're ready.
Is missing. All right, will do.
Is he missing in action?
Like I said, yes, he's missing in action. He has a toothache. So anybody who's married out there knows what taking care of a sick husband is like. So sympathize
Ooh,
with him.
Girl, you know what to say.
But what I'm going to do is I'm going to change channels. Yes. I'm going to change channels a little bit and change the topic this Monday from mental health to positive male and female role models, especially in the Black community. It is very much needed, and it's also done a lot, and people just don't talk about it. So I really want to talk about how important it is for the queens to take our place and the kings to take theirs, so we can make the, we can get the village state of mind back rolling again.
Well, that's interesting. I think I would really like to delve into that, too. I'm okay with changing hats. That's part of what the juggling of a woman is, to be able to change hats based on the many different roles that we play just in general with work and family and, you know, at some point taking care of ourselves and, you know, so, hey, let's do it. I'm all for it.
All right. Well, I want to personally start with the men, because we know, as you said, the women, we got all the songs about us and all the Mother's Day stuff, and people don't really think about the fathers all that much. They just get, as Chris Rock said, they get the big piece of chicken and that's it.
Wow. Okay, then.
So we're gonna give them some props today.
Okay. You know, after they do deserve it, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, like I said, a lot of it is done and just not seen, or just it's just not talked about. Like I said, I don't know why it's so easy. The human condition is so easy to focus on the negative all the time versus
right.
The positive. I don't know why it is, but
right.
like I said, that's what this is about, is changing the narrative in the neighborhood and everything. And like I said, start being optimistic about things.
Wow. That's pretty deep. I mean, that really is, because when you think about it, you know, all we ever hear about is from the news media to different magazines and books, you know, you hear about empowering women to do more of what society is really basing on us. Like, you know, society has placed on women that they can do everything. But in all honesty, society has dismissed the men. And that's not necessarily so in all homes. There are males present in the homes and taking active roles in the home. But I'm really excited to hear about what you've got to say, because when you think about it, it's not just, you know, you hear a lot that women have just gotten so headstrong and become independent and they're taking over. And that may be true in some instances or in a lot of instances, but what about the males, you know, that are active in the homes or actively working and doing things as positive and even being positive reinforcement in children's lives and things of that nature? So, I mean, like, you really got me excited to just go ahead and just broach this conversation, because we do hear a lot of negativity being placed on our men. And it starts even like when they're boys. I don't know if you can actually help me in this, but I feel like as our young men, our boys grow up to be teenagers and they grow up to be young men, you know, they start off as early as birth as just being labeled as a negative person. Can you help me with that?
This is, you know, what you just said, I'm going to go ahead and piggyback off of that because it's very true. It's a saying in the conscious community that our black men are, like you said, they're born targets.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they're born, they have the bullseye on their back. And it's sad. It's a terrible thing. And us, like I said, as sisters, sometimes we forget, or we just don't know, we don't care to know, we don't inquire about how hard it really is out here for our black men. They have it worse than anyone
Wow.
in the United States, pretty much across the board. And we, being their mothers, their sisters, their, you know, their nurturers,
mm-hmm.
the backbone, we are, like I said, our backbone has scoliosis because we're kind of bending a little bit. We're not really standing
Wow.
head strong and standing behind our men like we should be doing. Or even trying to, like I said, I'm always about building. If we're not building together, then we may not be compatible. Like I said, you always have to think about that. Nobody's perfect, period, at all. But we always have to think about progression, your ambition. You have to, some people just need that extra kick. Some people do need that confidence. And like I said, with our men, they are prideful, which is, as my dad always said, it's a thing that really, really destroys our black men, is the pride. The pride of not wanting to ask for help. The pride of not wanting anybody to see you going through anything. The pride of not being able to back down from anybody, so you have to fight this person. Just the pride is, it can be, like I said, a gift and a curse at the same time. But going back to, like I said, my father telling me this, I had that positive male role model in my life that directed me in the right path, which directed me right to my husband, which reminds me
Wow.
just of my father, like I said. But we have to, like I said, it's a team effort. He didn't always understand me. Me and my father really didn't get close until I had my first child, and then after that, me and him, became best of friends. But once I became a parent, I understand everything he was trying to tell me. I understand everything. It makes perfect sense. And like I said, I was just... Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, so you're saying that your father was an active role model in your life. But not only was he an active role model, he actually taught you what to expect in your king because of the way he treated you. Is that pretty much
Yes,
what I'm
ma'am.
Understanding you to say?
Yes. Yes.
And that's really interesting, because I'm going to go from a personal standpoint, because I can't talk about anybody but me, because I know me.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people all the time, my life is trans, you know, I can talk about me. I haven't always been this way, but I am now. And so my thing is, I can remember, you know, growing up, my father always being the provider, not to say that my mother didn't work, but for a long time, the jobs that she did work were not, you know, long ending jobs. And she wasn't like the main supporter. So he was like the main provider. He would do, you know, two jobs and things of that nature. But I would see him bring the money home. I would see him make sure that the house was in working order. But as far as, and he would do things like he would always take me out to eat for, you know, birthdays or on a Saturday. I can remember growing up and my mother would be at work and he would take me to different restaurants or whatever. And he taught me, not necessarily openly, what I should expect from a husband, but he taught me what it was like to have a relationship with father-daughter, okay?
Yeah.
And so I never heard that, I never saw that, you know, treating me as I should want to be treated or expecting this kind of treatment from a husband. That was never a conversation. That was never, you know, and I would see, all I ever saw him do was provide. And
mm-hmm.
he was never afraid to show emotions, you know, and in that sense. But my mother was the one who taught me how to be a lady and taught me how to be independent. And taught me how to go and do things as far as working and doing, you know, not having to depend on anybody. So in a way, it was kind of like a kind of a misconceived, if you would, type situation, because I saw the provisions being made, but not a preparation for. Never was it, well, you know, when you get married, I'm going to walk you down the aisle and, you know, when a man, or reiterating, you know, I'm opening this door for you and you should always expect that from a man, and I'm treating you as a queen the way you should be taught or treated by your husband. That was never like a open line of communication in that area. So in a way, the only thing I ever really saw or had communicated to me was, you know, being a lady and, you know, keeping the house clean and, you know, doing what you're supposed to do and, you know, going to work and being honest and things of that nature. So I, in a way, that was never really taught to me. And so I had to get that through my husband. Does that make sense? Like I never had that, like, just imparted in me. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we say that men can teach a boy how to be a man, and then a mother can teach a woman or a child or her daughter how to be a woman. But how many fathers actually treat or teach their daughters or how to expect a husband to treat you? Does that make sense?
Yes.
I hope I'm, because I'm like, you, just for you to shift like you did, it was just like, wow, you know, I've been taught to be not necessarily a feminist, but to be mm-hmm. sure of who I am and what I'm doing, and my mother taught me that and how to make sure that the house was clean and how to treat my husband, okay? Like, you know, mm-hmm. I would see her doing things like washing clothes and ironing my dad's stuff and teaching me how to do these things and make sure that the food was done and everything. But no one ever really taught me a husband is supposed to treat his wife. So you are really, I'm going to shut up now, and I'm going to let you just go in for it, because you're going to teach me something tonight.
but you know, I think we're probably in the same boat, because not necessarily did my father tell me, you know, this is what a man is supposed to do. I just thought, like, I never was around like a dysfunctional relationship, because everyone that my father had me around was, you know, everybody was either, they're either single in a relationship, but like I said, I never seen any dysfunction. So he married my mother when they got a divorce. I was probably like 5, and he married my stepmom. They were married for 20 years. Those are the only two people I've ever seen him with. And he recently got married about 2 years ago. So he was never the kind to have women in and out and did it. And every woman he was, it was 3 people, and he married all of them. So, like I said, I just it was just innate in me, I guess. I guess it's in the genes. But even in high school, I never was boy crazy. I used to look at my friends like, we don't have to spend every single second of our lives thinking about a boy, talking about a boy, doing this kind of stuff. So I was always, like you said, like your mother taught you, a go-getter. I was always a leader. I always knew how to get things done. But like I said, my father didn't necessarily tell me this is what I should be looking for in a husband. He set that example for me every, not just in marriage, but every single day he taught me something about life, about real life, and when I was ready to talk about these things. Because that's another thing. Sometimes your kids, you're not ready. Some things I wasn't ready for him to tell me until after I had my own child. I would have never understood anyway, no matter what age I was.
But there's still some positiveness there. Because all I ever saw, yes, I saw my father provide, but I also saw dysfunction. I saw gambling. I saw women outside of the marriage. I saw, just a lot of stuff. And for me, I will say this, I always knew about him being a provider, but I also saw the other side. And I grew up saying, hey, I'm not going to ever let a man, you know, disrespect me, you know, walk over mm-hmm. me, whatever, whatever. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to make sure I can do for myself. And, you know, and when I met my husband, when we were dating, he would say things like, you don't have to put air in your tire, or you don't have to change your own oil in your car, or you don't have to do. And I'm like, but that's what I do. And I felt mm-hmm. like a big part of my independence was stripped. And I really had to reprogram myself because I wasn't used to that. You know, I was taught how to repair a vacuum cleaner, not because we couldn't afford to get another one, but because I saw my dad do certain things, learning how, but it was also because my mother was like the one who said, hey, you need to do this. We don't need to go and buy another vacuum cleaner. Let's, you know, and so I saw good things, but I also saw a lot of dysfunctional things. So maybe I didn't get the words verbatim, but I did get some negativity as well. And it was up to me because, you know, we've got people now who are coaches or mentors or go in and try to regroup and reprogram, but I didn't have that. So what I saw was what I saw, and that's what I learned from. So now, you know, we've got even yourself right now trying to help and teach and encourage and motivate, but that wasn't so prevalent, and if it was, it was taboo. You know, you weren't going to talk about those things.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really good that we are on this subject tonight, and I'm literally gonna, you know, let you just do what you do.
And you too. But you know, you said something good with the you know, you were used to putting the air in your tires and doing these things for yourself. Now that's something that I, like my mom, even though she, you know, had her little bout with drugs and this and that, she was always, I don't know, my mom just never played second fiddle to anybody, no matter what situation she was in, and I always respected that about her. She always was, you know, like I said, she's headstrong, definitely. Like I said, I always respected that about her, but what I didn't respect about her was, you know, after my dad, you know, after they had their divorce or what have you, the relationship mm-hmm. she went into after and how she treated those men. Because they weren't as...
Wow.
Yeah, they weren't as stern and you know, in their ways as my father was. And he's consistent. My father is Mr. Consistency himself, so... No matter what you do, no matter how much you beg, if he tells you no about something, it's pretty much going to be a no. So my mother realized that she could manipulate these, you know, these other men in this way. And like I said, it wasn't good because feelings get involved and all that stuff is, you know, that situation. But like I said, these were good men. My stepfather, like I said, the positive male role model, I had a lot of them in my life. Even my stepfather, who's also divorced with my mother now. Him and my dad are best friends.
Wow.
I love you, Mom. I promise I do. Okay. But my stepfather to this day, love you, Dave. Like I said, he had a major part in me and my two brothers' childhood, just showing us what a real man should be through all circumstances. He's walked in the Birmingham thunder rain for us when we didn't have a car to go get food for us, and walked miles and things like that, and things that men are really supposed to be doing for their families. So, like
right.
I said, I've always had I just have a different soft spot for, like I said, that positive male black role model. I do, because it's so needed, especially for our sons and our daughters. Like I said, the men, I won't say even one sex needs it more. We both need it. But a woman definitely can't teach a man how to be a man, and vice versa. But like I said, that the head of the family is so important. And like I said, then the backbone
it
with
is.
The mother and the kids, it just makes up the combination. So like I said, we have to just start supporting one another and realizing what the real root of these problems are and why. Like I said, I didn't understand my mom until I got older and my grandmother started telling me about her and her father's relationship, how close they were. And when he passed away when she was 18, she pretty much was lost in life. So it makes a lot of sense
Wow.
why she made a lot of those decisions and why she did what she did. And, my judgment was a lot less harsh, especially when I had my own children and I went through my own stuff, and I'm like, okay, I understand now.
Yeah.
So
that's
we have
really
to, like I said, we have to have these I'm big on sister circles, because we do need people we can confide in, because like I said, that's where the mental issues brew at, when we don't have anyone to talk to about these kind of things.
So is it safe to say that forming a sisterhood not necessarily can be the only method, but a good alternative to even get to the point of broaching counseling? For a long time, or for all I've ever known, is a strong sisterhood, because I'm a single child. So I've always had not a large circle of friends, but it seems as though people have always just kind of attached themselves to me, and I'm not trying to brag, but I've always been like that, what they called a Mother Hubbard nurturer, someone that people could easily talk to, male and female. But as I grew older, my sisterhood circle, it changed, but yet it changed for the better. And so if it gets to the point where, we're talking sisterly and there's some things that's going on, we have that bond where we can say, hey, you know what, this is really outside of my scope, and I think that you really should go ahead and seek some, professional help. Not to say that something's wrong with you, but just to say that I've gone as far as I can go as far as this particular subject, but I can still be your friend and have that sisterhood. So would it be safe to say that, that sisterhood is where you really get your strength, and you tend to branch out to more professional type insight? I mean,
I think so. I think, my husband mentioned last week, I believe, with African Americans, the group sessions, for some reason, we really, really gravitate to those, and they work for us. So, like I said, with the sister circles, I definitely believe in, like I said, just the sisters sticking together anyway, and I mean being true friendship.
Right,
Like I said, that's just got strength written all over it. But we have to, again, my favorite word, accountability, is when people tell us these things, hold it into your dang on self and stop busting at the seams, because these kind of things can really harm people if it gets out and things like that. You just don't, when people confide in you, that's just what they're doing, is confiding in you. It should not leave
right.
the room. It should not be heard outside of the, it just shouldn't. And I don't know why we do that to each other. Like I said, it makes us hate each other. It does. Because
it
you
really
think
does,
every single person
know, the
is the same.
Is, well, I'll say this. I have a good friend, and she has a good friend, okay? She has her husband, all right? And so it's not to say that I was testing her, but I know that if I share that I have a headache, I'm going to use that as an example. She's going to tell me later on, girl, I was telling my husband that you said you had a headache. And I don't feel like I should have to say, look, girl, don't share this with anybody.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But I know that if you go and you take that little thing and discuss it with your husband, not to say that I'm going to, you know, but it kind of tarnishes your integrity. And I'm not saying keep anything from your husband, but sisterhood is sisterhood, right? Okay,
yes,
so
trust me, they got a brotherhood.
You know, exactly. And they ain't gonna share with their brothers with you.
Exactly.
But I just said like this. I didn't get upset about it because it was something that was pretty, you know, insignificant. But it was just like, okay, well, you know, I know that I can't use her as my confidant. And I have a problem with having friends with limitations. I feel that my circle is only so big. And so if I invite you in and we connect, I have this thing where, and I know that this is me, where I just don't let people in after you show me that you're not receptive or you're not able to hold things. I don't feel like I should have to say, now, Queen Sheena, when I talk to you about XYZ, don't tell King Bo. I don't feel like I should have to do that. I feel like if you and I are talking, that's you and I talking, you know? And if I have to tell you don't tell it, then I probably shouldn't even share it with you.
And in the first, yeah. But see, these are the conversations that need to be had with women so they can get better at these relationships. Because, like I said, some people are offensive and don't even know it sometimes. I don't know. They just be living in la-la land. And some people are intentional with it. But like I said, we have to – these are the conversations that we need to have at the beginning of these sister circles. You know, when you're breaking down the rules and regulations and all that stuff like that. Now, if you're not ready for this kind of stuff, then you don't belong here. It's just that simple.
So what I hear you saying is you have to set boundaries.
Yes.
Even with your sister circle.
Oh, yes. It'll take my father and my husband to tell you my issue. I don't know what my issue is, or even if it's an issue, but my friends that I'm close with, my girlfriends that I'm close with, we don't talk to each other every single day. We don't see each other every single day, and that's the way I keep my friendship with females, honestly.
Oh. Well, I mean, and that's fine. You know, I mean,
and that's how I've been my whole life. But, yeah.
But do you have to? Okay, so you're helping me now. Do I need to set that boundary with my sisterhood and not expect it to be an automatic understood type thing?
Yes. Like I said, we can't, like, with something that delicate, we can't assume anything. Because like you said, you don't want to have to say, look, such and such, you're not supposed to say this, or this is okay for you to tell somebody, and this is not okay. You know, that's too much work. So I think, like I said, those boundaries just have to be set in the beginning. They just have to be out there. Like I said, for everybody to yay or nay to.
I'm sorry, what was that, Queen?
I said these are the boundaries do need to be set in the beginning because, like I said, these with a situation this delicate, you can't afford to assume anything and you can't afford for anything to get out if it's, like I said, if it's very confidential. So, like I said, you shouldn't have to tell such and such not to say this, or you can say this, or this. Like I said, that's too much work. So the boundaries need to be set in the beginning for everyone to be able to say yay or nay, or if they want to be even participating in that or not, or even if their personality is even ready for that type of move.
So boundaries are important in every aspect.
Yes, well, we're trying to build, I mean, like I said, I'm always going to be talking about building and fruits and vegetables. But when you're trying to build, like I said, you have to have boundaries. You have to have people there who have not necessarily going to agree with everything you say, but you do have the same common mission in mind. And that's the main thing, to get with like-minded people. And it's such a breath of fresh air when you get with like-minded people. You're like, okay, I do not feel like an alien anymore. There's other people out here like me too. So we have to do that for each other. Like I said, the sisters especially, like I said, we're the nurturers. We're the ones. And we have to uplift each other, first of all. That's the first thing we have to do. Even if it's just like with me, I address every black woman as queen. Even if they don't think so. And then some people even ask me, what did you just call me? I called you queen. You a black woman, aren't you? So that's what you are to me. So I even have to explain that to them. And that gives them a little, you know, make their chest poke out a little bit. It makes them feel better about themselves, or make them find something that they didn't see before. So it just starts there. Like I said, even with my young kings, like I said, I call them king, address them as king. I don't care if they're just hanging out in the front of the liquor store. I call you king. You need that upliftment maybe that day. Maybe you needed that to make you change your life.
Wow.
To make you say, hey, they probably don't even think we're peers sometimes, because I look really young, but still, they probably don't even think that they're worthy of people even looking them in the eye and talking to them.
I hear you.
I really do. I hear you loud and clear. We need to do that for each other. We have to. Like I said, once the black man and the black woman get together, it's no stopping it. It's just not. That's nation building.
This is good. This is really good.
We have to start, like I said, the village way of thinking again. It really needs to, it has to be done. We have to find our big mamas and all that stuff. We need that. We need that wisdom. Like I said, we have to, all the black businesses are diminishing. I really want to go back to that time where we were all supporting each other. We had our own section of the community, and where we went to the parks, where we did this, where we took our kids, where we had our carnivals, where we did this. Like, we really need to get back to that. To just start loving, I hate to sound cliche, but to just love the skin that you're in. Because it's a beautiful thing.
Well, I think what you need to do, and I'm talking about right now tonight, is give us some insight on some of these sister building and things that we can do, because I know that we have listeners on right now, and they're wondering, you know, how do we do this? How do we, you know, and I'm not talking about shedding off the dead weight. I'm talking about building each other up from where we are right now, be it male or be it king or queen. How do we, as a human race, get back to what everyone needs? Everyone needs to hear, like you said, king or queen, or see a smile, or get a hug. Or, you know, we all need that.
Yes, we do. And, you know, I had a challenge on Facebook probably some months ago. Because you said, how do we get back to, you know, loving on one another? So what I did was I got on Facebook and I asked anyone, I want you to go through your whole day, the whole day, and tell me how many times you judged somebody today. And you will be surprised at how many people were like, oh, my goodness, it hurt my feelings to know how negative I was. And I didn't even know I was like this. I said 10 bad things about this person, and I didn't even see him for 2 minutes. You know, I didn't know I was like this. It's like, you know, like I said, we have to start with, it starts with self, that self-love and all that stuff. So people really, and it was really interesting to me as well, how many people really, like they said, were hurt behind how they think right off the top, how pessimistic they were off the top. And we have to figure out now where that came from.
Wow. Well,
so it makes you realize how positive you just aren't throughout the day.
Right. I just wonder what it is that, you know, it's really interesting to understand the importance of not just expressing love, but also receiving love. It's just because we know that our men are sometimes they're more likely to be less affectionate. And I'll use my sons as examples, because I've always taught my boys about hugs and it being okay to, you know, kiss your mother or hold her hand in public or, you know, and I don't necessarily mean anything. I'm just talking about showing affection, that mother-son love and trying to also incorporate that in their lives, you know, to be able to communicate and to have that open line of communication one-on-one with their peers. And I will say that it has gone pretty good. But for those who, you know, really don't understand, you know, how can we implement that with our brothers, our kings, to make them, you know, feel the love and everything that they need so that they can actually pass that on to their peers, their friends, their relationships? Is there a time that, you know, like the world, there's a song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And that is so true. But how do you love the unlovable? How do you reach the unreachable, those who don't want to be reached? You know, if they're in your circle, I'm not talking about a complete stranger. I'm talking about somebody that's in your circle. How do you reach out to those that are unreachable?
That's, you know what, we may be able to, look, we need a man on this subject. But that is a good thing that you just said, because my father, like I said, he was an awesome provider, teacher, everything, but he is still to this day not affectionate. He's not so affectionate.
We have lost Queen. Let's see if we can get her back. She was talking about not being the most, her stepfather not being the most affectionate person. We're going to take a break for just a moment. We've lost Queen Sheena. You're listening to Breaking Chains with Healthy Mondays. Feel free to call in and join us on this conversation tonight, where we're talking about the role models or the role of the male and the female in the community. Feel free to dial in at 858-357-9137. Or you can log on and listen to us on the blogtalkradio.com. We're getting ready to play I Ain't Turning Back. Stay tuned.
Oh, ain't you? You sounding like an anthem, man. Them horns got me feeling real heroic right now, baby. Yes. This my 300 music. I'm about to get my Leonidas on, fam. Let's ride in, baby.
You ride with me, baby.
Let's get it.
I got my boom on my own. My head to the sky. I'm going in the battle with my own.
Let's get it, man.
High and I'm through playing games.
I'm through
you
playing,
can see
baby.
It in mine. And you can go and ask anybody.
I'm telling the real world.
And I ain't turning back. I ain't turning back.
I ain't
turning back.
I ain't turning back.
No, I'm on my loop nine. I'm
I'm daily dying.
Daily.
Holy Spirit, keep your boy while I'm on the grind.
I'm grinding.
Full on my own, cause I know them darts flying.
Yeah.
And I'm still playing games, homie, I ain't lying.
I'm walking
out the way that I had as a juvenile. But this the plan that God had before I was a child. I'm walking in my destiny.
I'm walking in.
And he protecting me. I'm eating at a table prepared for my enemies.
That's my homie, I ain't turning back.
You hear me? I ain't turning back. Only thing I'm turning back, homie, is my fitted
hat.
So go ahead and get your gap. You can go and cock it back. When Christ rose up off the grave, and he coming back. And one day I'ma rise with him, meet up in the skies with him. That's why I'm willing to live and even die with him. Rapping all over the world, my horn tied
my
with
horn
him. Even if it means our death, you know we ride with him.
I got my head to the sky. I'm going in the battle with my horns up high, and I'm through playing games. You can see it in my eyes, and you can go and ask anybody. I'm a ride,
and I ain't turning back. I ain't turning back.
Flame in the church, about 17. Down the street,
dirty thing.
Down the street,
murder scene.
So our whole regime hit the knees and we went witnessing. Our plan,
that's the king.
God's plan is redeemed. He brought my homie back. Now we back on the track. Running the same race. We on the same track. For the same God who resurrected his son. Reflect on what he's done. Ain't no backwards to run. Where will we go? Back to our grave. Leave a castle for some shackles and being slaves. They don't make no sense. No offense with the statement, man.
No offense.
That's just like a Jew begging for concentration camps. That's just like a black begging for segregation bags. That's insanity, beautiful Christianity. Intruded the planet, removing all our vanity.
He don't
get us see flame and things.
I got
our
full on. My head to the sky. I'm going in the battle with my horns up high.
Hypocrites sitting up in them churches.
Never.
But I went to God's house and I found my purpose. Now my life's a sacrifice, fam, I'm living worse. Ain't nothing behind but death for me and enemies.
That's it.
A cemetery or a penitentiary.
That's it.
That ain't the way I want you to remember me.
Never.
Now they think of my Lord when they mention me.
This
is pride of music. Survivor music.
Survivor.
And I wasn't forced to do this. I was built to do it. And I know it's war ahead, but God gon' get me
through it.
And
baby,
I brought my cross with me, gone and nailed me to it. Cause I ain't turning back.
Uh-uh.
I don't care if they got 50 ratchets at me, about to knock off my fitted hat.
Yes,
I ain't turning back. I don't care if they got 50 ratchets on me, gone and knock off my fitted hat.
I got my pool on my own, my head to the sky. I'm going in the battle with my horns up high. And I'm through playing games.
Uh-huh.
You can see it in my eyes. And you can go and ask anybody,
man.
I'm a ride.
Ask anybody
turning
you
back.
Want to.
I ain't turning back.
I ain't turning back.
I ain't turning back.
And we are back. I am so sorry. This is Elder Katrina Kennedy. We are listening to Breaking Chains with Healthy Mondays. And we had Queen Sheena Williams on the line with us. And I don't know what has happened. We are having some technical difficulties. But tonight we find ourselves talking about having a healthy relationship in the male and the female community. And what we have found is that it is really difficult to have expectations on any of our peers, any of our friends, people that we know, people in our that we are in a relationship with, whether it be an intimate relationship or just a friendly relationship, but how close we are and not able to set boundaries. And it's really important. And I was really excited because Sheena was talking to us about the idea that her growing up was, with her growing up, she and her brothers, it was taught to her how to handle a relationship, and the expectations were set without actually being voiced. And then we were also going into great length about setting boundaries with the people that are closer to us and putting those limitations on, or those setting those boundaries in place when you are actually going head on in a relationship, whether it's a platonic relationship or it's an intimate relationship. You still should not be afraid to set boundaries. I know for myself, I have this thing where I don't particularly like it when people, you know, are not true to their word. And my thing is, for me, I like to pretty much just cut you off in the middle. I have a problem with opening up and saying to a person, hey, that you hurt me, and let's forgive and let's move on. That's something that I have to deal with. And we as a race of people all have to be understanding enough to realize that we are made up in different components and none of us are the same. But in order to have a true relationship, you have to be open with one another and you have to be willing to set boundaries, because what happens is it starts to put a strain on a relationship, whether, like I said, it's a friendship or if it's an intimate relationship. We should not be afraid to tell people, you know what, if I talk to you about something, I expect that to stay between us. Now, granted, we're not talking about anything that's going to cause a detriment or harm to yourself. A mere conversation where you are bonding with a friend and being able to be okay, I guess, more or less is the lack of the better word, be okay with yourself to say, hey, we need to set these boundaries. I think that it's really good to have a strong force, whether that person is not necessarily the leader of the pack, but just saying, listen, we're going to have an open dialogue, but before we go into this open dialogue, set boundaries, set parameters, let your peers know or your friends know that I'm not comfortable with talking about this, or I don't allow people to get into my circle. You know, if you got a 10-foot rule or a 5-foot rule, be comfortable in yourself and say, you know what, this is not good for me. I cannot allow this. Instead of waiting until it happens and then to discuss it, which could also damage what you've already started to build. I think the whole thing is being okay with who you are and being okay with what you expect. But you got to know that for yourself, right? You can't just expect someone else to know that it's not okay or that it's okay to touch you, but then you have a trigger and then you shut down and not let a person know, hey, this is what has happened and it's caused a trigger. Not to say that you've got to let people in before you let them in, but at least let them know some of the things that you cannot tolerate before you get in the middle of it, because it could be very traumatizing or detrimental or the end to a relationship before it's even formed. Another thing that I would really like to talk about tonight is the idea that we I see that Queen Sheena is back. Hold on just a moment. Queen, I see you have made it back. I was just
hi, Queen. I'm sorry. I got disconnected. And me too. I'm about to be going on over here. I'm sorry.
No. Don't you dare apologize. It's okay.
I'm back.
I was just going on and on about the you know, the boundaries and how important it is to set. But now that you're back, hey, if you feel comfortable with picking up where you left off, you go right ahead.
Well, we're talking about the boundaries being set here. We are talking about the sister circle right still, correct?
Right, absolutely.
Okay. Okay, I was just saying, you know, we have to, my main thing, like I said, as far as the problem I see with females is us not being able to hold information very well. So that is one of the things that has to be, like I said, it has to be a top priority. That just can't happen. So this is supposed to be, like I said, the trust tree or the trust nest or however you want to call that, but that's where you're supposed to come and let your hair down and be able to talk to your girlfriends about some stuff. Like I said, stuff you're not supposed to go back and tell your husband or anybody else outside of that circle for that matter. So those are the things that need to be put place in the forefront.
And you're right. You're right. And it's very important because I teach, I mentor, I coach about setting boundaries and importance of it. But yet I think the thing is for me, I feel like if you are right there with me and we're forming and we're building, do you think it's okay to say, you know, this, what we're trying to build is not working and agree to disagree and just kind of either cut ties, or how do you handle that? Going back to the friend that I shared with you earlier who, you know, told her husband that I had a headache, and I'm only using that as an example because I can't really remember what it was that happened. I didn't call her on it, partly my fault because I didn't say automatically, hey, what we talk about is about us and it stays with us. But I have said that in so many instances where we were together, but for that particular conversation, I didn't say, hey, what goes on this telephone line or what goes on in this, you know, should stay with us. How do you handle that once the person has not necessarily betrayed your trust, but crossed that line?
Okay, well, you said it first that it was kind of your fault for not saying anything when it happened because it left room for it to happen again. You know, that's why I always stick with people can be mad at you for a lot of things, but they can't be mad at you for telling the truth. So I believe in that. Like I said, and you have to, you know yourself better than anybody. So like with me, when things just fester and they just pester me and I'm sleeping and I'm still thinking about it and I'm like, I got to tell my husband. I'm like, look, I have to say something about this to somebody because it's on my conscience now and I know I need to say something about it. So you know when that time is for you. And every time, like I said, your gut feeling is not going to lie or anything. We have female intuition, so we have that extra little something. So we need to listen to it, and we have to act on it. It can be kind of scary sometimes. It can be, you know, a little intimidating, but trust me, it will save you in the long run.
I agree, and I hear you loud and clear. I do. And it's very important because I was saying a few minutes ago that, no, I'm not talking about anything detrimental, but before you can even formulate a good relationship, if you don't go ahead and, you know, put those boundaries out there, then it could be the end to a perfectly good relationship before it's
a
even
beautiful
formed.
One, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, and you know, and it's like I hadn't even given it time to see where it would go, because of something so petty. Because in the scheme of things, it is pretty petty. But I think that goes back to saying, you know, people being guarded with their friendship, that they're not really willing to open up. And I'm not saying to like a grand scheme of things, but that's just like saying that you're forming a new relationship, and this is strictly platonic now. This is just a friendship, but it's still a relationship you're building. and you have, you know, the game where you have building blocks, and it's not necessarily a game, but yet it is a game. It's a leadership game to build for. It's a team building type exercise. There it is. It's not a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a team building exercise. So with that team building exercise, you're using blocks, and you're putting in different components to that block to basically build something. And what you're building is a relationship, a team, so that this team can get across what it is that they're trying to do, not by themselves, but as a team. And so my whole thing is, you know, in order to even start this team and to start this formulation, you've got to be on one accord. And that's with anything. But it seems as though you have this guard up. And I'm not saying everybody, but somebody has a guard up because they have been hurt, or, you know, it didn't work before, or, you know, they're doubtful or what have you. And so how do you build when you have this wall around you, or this wall in between you, and you're not willing to let that wall or that guard down? How does, if it's an intimate relationship that you're building, you know, you either feel that you can't do without each other, or you can't do it together. So as a strictly platonic relationship where you are building, and you're building a team, you're working towards something, but it's not, you have this guard up, one person. How can one work around that guard? Or how is it that they know when the time is up and it's not actually it's not doable, it's not achievable? How do you work towards that?
Well, you know, with me, I try to, in any relationship, like I said, because there are some people that are going to break off from you for whatever reason, but I try to leave every person that I meet in better shape than when I found them, as far as my personality is concerned. But it's up to us, like you said, people do have these walls up, so it's up to us to be honest with the next person that we meet, because we will make it harder for the next person to be their friend. If you understand what I'm saying there, I don't know if I was all the way off.
No, I get exactly what you're saying. You're saying don't take baggage into the next relationship.
Mm-hmm. You cannot do that.
Exactly.
Even with, I'm like you, I like to use myself. Transparency. I have two girlfriends of mine that I met when I first moved to Mobile. We have we may have one little issue where they were, like you said, they were just being petty about somebody else that was bothering them, and it kind of spilled over into whatever through a text message. So me being me, I don't do text messages like that because things get lost in translation when it was something, like I said, that of that magnitude. So, you know, I called both of them on each occasion, and I'm like, now what's going on? What's going on with you? Yeah, but you know what? They just explained to me what's going on, and I'm like, look, I'm like, it was just a misunderstanding. That's not what I meant, or it's probably not what you meant, or we just got our wires crossed, or what have you. And then at the end of the day, they start laughing like, girl, you're so crazy. I'm like, because I just have to be real. We're not going to argue over nothing petty like this. No. Like I said, if we build it, we have to. But we have to set those boundaries with each other. Like they said, now they know, don't text Sheena with anything crazy, because she's going to pretty much pick up the phone and call
right.
you. You're going to have to explain to her why you did that. So that's, like I said, setting those boundaries. But these are my friends I also talk to for an hour or two, and we're talking about building. We're talking about being, like I said, conscious about being Black women. Like I said, so that's where I find my strength at, and my fellow sisters who think like me. And like I said, once you get together with that, it's, like I said, that's pure strength. You can't do anything with it but build.
Right. You're right. That's good. This is helpful in so many ways, because for the most part, we tend to, I think we tend to put more work into something, or we use more energy working on something that's not really worth the effort, and we tend to just kind of be put off what really the main focus of the team building or the friendship or the relationship, what it is that you're really supposed to achieve.
I think it's because I think we're all looking for that instant gratification. We kind of want to meet somebody and be instant best friends like you see on TV or like you read in the books, and it takes years to build friendships.
That's what we want.
We want the BFF 5 minutes after meeting somebody, and it's like, no, you have to get to know this person.
But then again, who teaches you, and I don't mean you as the person that I'm referring to, but who's the one responsible for teaching how to build a friendship?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were talking about your father, your stepfather, your mother, and who is actually the one to teach us? There's no book on how to build a friendship, a relationship,
mm-hmm.
or a marriage.
Yeah.
There's no how-to. So, you know, you're really starting a fresh right now on tonight with Young Adult Talk, Breaking Change, Young Adult Talk, by explaining the boundaries and the limitations and being guarded and, you know, team building. It takes a lot of work. And I think I would say that I'm the most tolerable person I know. Now, I've met some intolerant. For me, I know I am the most tolerable person I know. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it would work for you, Queen. It doesn't. It doesn't mean that my being tolerable or tolerant is the same level of tolerance that you require. You may consider me being overshadowing or smothering or loud or, you know, a whole array of things. And so I personally would need you to tell me these things, but who's there to teach this? You know, and that goes back to saying, you know, we need to really have an open line of communication with the person that we are building with. And that's the problem right now today, communication and the lack thereof. We're not willing to communicate. We're not willing to open up. We're not willing to convey to others. We're just, you know, in our own little shell. And I shared with Reverend Williams just this morning that this is one of the things that causes hypertension.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just feel like we've got to fix it. We it's got to be done a certain way, and we got to fix it, and we want to hold it in, and we don't want to go and talk to anyone, and we don't want to confide because we don't want people in our business, and we don't want people looking at us funny and feeling sorry for us.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a whole line of excuses. And the bottom line is we're not, like you said earlier, we're not comfortable in our own skin, number one. We're not willing to take a chance, number two. Number three, we don't want to communicate, and we don't want to let our guard down. There are four things that I can think of just off the top of my head from what we've talked about tonight that really puts a huge negative impact on building a friendship or relationship.
Yes.
And I just really need, you know, I was just thinking, I just really need to know a little bit more about how do we tackle this? Because this is killing our people. It's really taking a toll. This nation, this world, we're just going through so many different things. And it's like you said, we want that instant gratification. We want a microwave, you know, instant. You know, friendship, and we don't want to build. We don't want to take the time to deal with each other's woes or cry with one another or trust each other.
Yep.
We just don't want to do it. And in the long run, we're only hurting ourselves.
I don't know why we as, I'm going to say as African Americans, we're very shut off. But like I said, again, using the word accountability, one of my favorite words,
yeah.
We as the person who's receiving, like I said, when your information gets out and people know and you think people are looking at you and they judge you and everywhere, that's paranoia, and it's for real. Like I said, that's not a fake feeling that people feel. It's hurtful when you find out somebody told something that you confided in them about. So like I said, we have to be accountable as the person receiving the information, like I said, to close your mouth and not say anything. That's what puts up that wall with people, where people don't want to talk to anybody. They're looking at everybody the same. Or that one time that they went out on a limb and did tell somebody something, then it went out, and that's it. So we need to be accountable as the receivers of the information to keep it to ourselves, like I said, and also to try to get this person help with what they asked us with help for, and if we can't do it, like you said, send them to the next step. This is as far as I can go with you as far as my knowledge is concerned, or what I can give you, and you need to go to the next step. But like I said, we have to be accountable, we have to be honest, and we just have to keep, like I said, keep information to ourselves and keep it confidential. It can literally save somebody's life.
You're right. I have You ever had the person that, you know, they'll come to you and say, well, I'm coming to you, and I'm not coming to you because I want to hear your counseling part. I just want to, who am I talking to? Am I talking to, seriously, this is what I get. Am I talking to the minister? Am I talking to the counselor? Or am I talking to my good friend? Who am I talking to? And I'm like, it depends on what you want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm very transparent now. I have not always been like this, but my title, I'll say it like this. I've grown older. I've grown wiser, but also my secular jobs have also put me at a different level where, you know, confidentiality is not a problem. But I tell people quick, fast, and in a hurry, listen, if you don't want me to tell anybody, first let me go ahead and ask you, is it something that's going to threaten a potential harm to yourself or others? No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, then we can talk. Because if it is, I'm telling you now, I'm not going to hold it. So that's
not like my father.
People either shut down. Well, I mean, it but you got to do it. You got to do it because, like we are talking right now about setting boundaries, we've got to be accountable for it, but yet we got to be honest with one another and say, listen, now I'm telling you, if you tell me and it's, you know, whatever, I got to tell it.
Mhm.
But
so it's hard yourself or others.
Risk? Exactly.
Mm,
which
yep.
one do you do? Risk your life or my friendship? Which one
exactly.
is it?
Exactly. But, you know, it was always, like I said, again, that thing, accountability. Everybody, my dad's not even the oldest sibling, but everybody in my family, from the uncles to the aunts to the cousins, everybody goes to him when they want to just vent or they need to get mm-hmm. some advice, because one thing he never did my whole life is he never judged. He would tell me what's going to happen if you make this decision. This is going to happen, but if it did happen, he was never going to be pointing his finger at me and telling me I did the wrong thing. He just always gave good, sound advice and let you really do what you wanted to do, because ultimately it is your life. But then when you do get in that snafu, he's in the back of your head like, oh, my God, he did tell me this was going to happen. And you got to go with your tail between your legs, you know what I'm saying? So that didn't happen too many times. So, like I said, that too, just having somebody, like I said, he never judged anyone, but he does – say like you, if you're trying to harm yourself or somebody else, I am going to tell it, but
oh, yeah.
Besides that, like I said, he's just going to give you good sound advice, let you know what the outcomes are possibly going to be, and he's going to let you make your own decision without the judgment behind it. And sometimes people need that too, just to go ahead and bump their head one time, and then everything will be okay sometimes.
Yeah. That's true, especially when you know that they're going to basically do what they want to do anyway. You know, you're talking to them and you're like, okay, you want my advice, right? All right. Well, I know you're going to do, this is what my mother says, well, you're going to do what you want to do anyway. And sometimes I get a little, you know, heated up by that comment. But ultimately she's right. So advice doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to
act
do
on
what
it.
The person suggests. Okay, there it is, that you're going to act on it, but yet you just want to use that person as a sounding board. And, yeah, it is up to me. It is up to the individual. But you just really want to be able to just talk it out. Or like I usually say, I like to hear myself think. So I talk out loud. And I'll lay it out, you know, okay, these are the actions and these are the consequences for my actions. But what if, you know, I don't get caught doing it this way? Oh, but there's still consequences. One way or the other, whether they're good or bad, there are going to be consequences. So, you know, talking it out is good, but it's a lot better if you have just someone to kind of hear it out and say, you know what, that's really not a wise decision that you're trying to make. And not necessarily give me a suggestion or try to solve it for me, but just hear me out. And it's okay. If you tell me that it's the wrong thing to do and I listen to you and don't do it, then I should be accountable for not saying, well, you know, you told me not to do it. No, I didn't do it because it was really my decision.
Accountability.
It goes right back to what you said. It goes right back to what you said. Accountability. Taking responsibility for your own actions.
But like I said, we also have to learn to be accountable and go to the people that we know have good sound advice. You know, we can't be going to the crazy friend who's drinking every weekend and, you know, asking how you can sober up or something. No, you can't do that. So you need to go to somebody who has advice pertaining to your particular whatever that issue is, because this uncle may have not went through what this uncle went through, or he may have went through this kind of marriage and he may have not, and you want to get advice on this or that. So you have to pick that person that you know. Like I said, as women, we got female intuition. So you kind of know which way you want to go anyway. You're just kind of waiting on somebody to give you some confirmation.
Yeah.
So, like I said, we have to, yeah, you kind of, like I said, subconsciously. So, subconsciously, we're not even knowing that we're doing it. It's just, like I said, innate in us that we really already know what we want to do or what we should be doing. We're just looking to be pushed either way. So, we kind of like my dad would say, a car stuck in neutral. You could be pushed either way, and you'll just see which way it go. So.
Wow. Is that something that your dad wrote? Did he put his name on that, or can I use it again?
He has a lot of those. Look, please do. He has so many of them. Trust me, you're gonna hear a whole bunch of them in these next couple shows. He's the metaphor king.
Wow, I really like that one though. It's like a car stuck in neutral. You can push it either way; it'll go. I like that.
Yep.
And that's just
a
better way of saying, and really, in other words, it's a better way of saying the way my mother would say, well, you're going to do what you want to do anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know,
yep. Let me give you a push in the right direction, though, right? And drive.
Wow. I like that. Hey, do you have any more for us tonight, Queen?
I'm sure they'll come up as we're talking. Just keep on going. I'm sure they'll pop up.
Yeah, but I'm stuck on that one right now, I tell you.
But like I said, when you think about it, it's just very true, and a lot of us are like that in a lot of situations.
It's really
like
true.
I said, you need
the
person to give you that right push.
I like it. I really do. It's interesting because I know that for me, I'll say it like this. Whenever I'm working on a message or if I'm writing an article or whatever it is that I'm doing, if I'm journaling, it's about me. And if I'm able to use it to help someone else, it's what I do. But if it doesn't affect affect me or if it doesn't have an impact on me one way or another, whether it be my family member, my circle, my, you know, what have you, then it's kind of hard for me to talk about it. So I can't direct you to it. I can direct you to a textbook, but a lot of times it seems like it's more, instead of directing you to a textbook, it's kind of like, oh, you know what? I bumped my head. So let me go ahead and tell you how to avoid bumping your head in this situation.
Exactly. Now, like I said, not everyone, as my dad would say again, not everyone has to experience everything to learn from it. I mean, if you see 10 people walk off, not even 10, you see 3 people walk off the cliff and fall off, I mean, don't be that fourth person. Or don't be that, as I like to call it, the goofy gazelle, when all the rest of the gazelle are running from the lion because they see it and you're just still sitting there eating the grass like nothing's going on. So you kind of gotta stay on your toes and watch those surroundings.
That kind of goes back to what my mother would say. Don't let every bought lesson doesn't have no. You don't have to have a bought lesson for it to be the best lesson. You can just, you know, listen to someone else and learn from their mistakes or their episodes or their issues or their situation, as opposed to you going and trying it for yourself. It goes right back to what you just said that your father says, and I'm just like, wow. You know, when you sit down and you really just talk and kind of use metaphors or illustrations or, you know, previous experiences or what have you, it all goes back to the same thing. And again, I say accountability.
Yes.
Following what you're saying.
And then, you know, sometimes for others, experience is the best teacher.
This is true. This is true.
Some people, you just can't, Go ahead, Queen.
No, I was just thinking, I was talking about one of my little mentor mentees, and the young man was just kind of destined to get into some trouble, right? He didn't have to do it, but he did. And no matter what people did to try to avoid him from getting into trouble, for instance, he used to, one of the things he had a really bad habit of doing was picking up things that didn't belong to him. And no matter how many times his family would take him, like, to see what a jail looked like or to see, you know, people being handcuffed and being stripped of their voting rights, being stripped of, you know, being able to go into a store after being caught stealing or whatever the case may be. He was destined, you hear me, to learn from his own mistake. And one day he proceeded to just go into a store and lift some underwear. He didn't have to do it. He had money in his pocket, but he just did it. Don't you know when that young man got into the holding area or the processing area and called everybody he thought he could call, even with calling his parents, he said, he finally said, I called everybody that I could call, so I had to call my mentor. And when I called her, which was me, I said, oh, so you got money in your pocket and you can't even bail yourself out. This is not, they took that money and they put it in, I guess, in his file or whatever for everything that he had on him at the time. Well, nobody had to say anything else to that young man about picking up things that didn't belong to him because he went and he stayed in holding or in processing and went into the holding cell. But before they got ready to, you know, release him into whatever area the next area was, he had a friend to go and bail him out. So he had an almost experience. But he didn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But now you don't have to say anything else to him about picking up something that doesn't belong to him.
Because
he knows there are consequences.
Exactly. But, you know, like I said, we live in, I like to call it the Matrix sometimes, where you don't think stuff like that is real. You don't think jail is real. You don't think if you pull the trigger and kill somebody that you're going to be spending the rest of your life in a cage. Like, you don't think about that. you think it's not attainable for some reason. Like you said with your mentee, how he, you know, saw the jail cell, saw them locked up and what have you. But guess what he knew? He knew at the end of the day you were not going to leave him there if he was going to be able to go home. And that was his comfort. I know I'm going to be able to go home no matter how many times these prisoners yell at me or tell me what this and that and all that. I'm still going to get to go home with my parents at the end of this.
Right.
But when he realized he didn't have his parents to call, that's when it got real. And you couldn't call your friends that you thought was your homeboys and this and that and all that. You realized it was real. What your parents are telling
right.
you about
well,
people
you can...
not being your friends and all that is real.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing about it was he could call, but guess what? They didn't answer.
Exactly.
They didn't.
And I'm sure they told him that
exactly.
was going to happen one day.
Oh, yeah. But I guess.
So, like I said, it wasn't a reality for him to really have to go to that place. And he probably really didn't think he was going to go stealing underwear at that.
No. But it just amazes me. That's been probably about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent.
And for a minute, there was some roadblocks put in his way. But, you know, he was able to go into the military, and they pretty much expunged everything because it happened when he was underage. So,
mm-hmm.
but now you don't have that problem.
Exactly. And guess what he's going to be able to do? Tell somebody else.
Oh, yeah. Because don't think it was just a smack on the hand, pay your fine. No, it was pay restitution and fine.
Mm-hmm.
Do community service. Pay for the community service before you go and take the community service hours and then report to the probation officer. It was no joke. It wasn't no easy escape.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
There were consequences.
Like you said, he had to be that one to go ahead and have that experience. But like you said, that was the only one he had. And he's also able to go out and help people who were in his shoes, or as my father would say again, told you this will happen. But every test is a testimony to tell someone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, I definitely have heard that one. So, you tell your dad, I'm going to use that one again.
It's not a failed mission sometimes. I mean, like I said, luckily he didn't have to do, you know, hard time and all that stuff. He was just a little taste. But it was enough to go ahead and whip him into shape and be ready to, like I said, help the next person.
And it actually taught him about values and working and earning a dollar, you know. And that's another thing. It shouldn't actually be so hard. But you know what? My mother would say, if you make your bed hard, you're going to have to lie in it. There's no way around it. If you make it hard, you've got to lie in it.
And that's it in a nutshell, really.
It is.
Like you said, with that young man, going back to the subject we were on, is you helped build a positive black male role model just with him going through that situation. So sometimes it takes longer for others, but, you know, some people get it right off the top. Sometimes it takes longer for others. But like I said, those are also the people that we need to reach the kids that are going through it, because if you haven't went through it, like I said, with our kids, I mean our children in our inner cities and stuff, they really are not apt to really listen to you because they feel like you don't even know what they're feeling, what they're talking about, or anything like that. So it is good to have those people who have went through that experience to be able to come back and show what they can be.
That's true. It doesn't necessarily have to be a glamorous story or you know, riding off into the sunset on a white horse type story. But like you said, any type of test, whether it's a self-inflicted test or a happenstance test, it can lead to a later on a testimony, and it can save someone else. Now, again, back to that one word that you have used since I have known you, and it goes back to that word, just being accountable for your own actions, accountability. I am so grateful that we've had this conversation tonight because it has helped in so many different levels. I've had a call come in to me, or a text rather, about someone that I'm kind of coaching along. And it's just a thing of being in a domestic violent relationship. And although the victimizer has paid some penalties for his actions, the victim, the survivor, is now putting forth more effort, having to miss time from work and everything to go to these different classes and to prepare for a court appearance and things of that nature. And she was just like, you know, if only I had listened before the first time when he put his hands on me, you know, or when he was yelling at me. If only I had listened. So she says, I feel more like the victim than I do the survivor. She said, and I'm like, no, you are a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
But there are still some things that you're going to have to go through so that you can help someone else be a survivor. It's not fair. But then again, what about life is fair?
Exactly. Nothing.
There's really and truly, there's nothing about life that's fair. If you go through life and tell me that it's been fair for you all your life, then I would have to beg the difference that something is wrong. If you've never gone through any type of hardship or, you know, a bump in the road or, you know, I would say something was wrong.
And we all, like I said, none of us are immune to that. No matter what you believe, don't believe, all these things, it doesn't matter. Nobody's immune to the trials and tribulations of life.
That's true. That's
true.
There's
just no, like I said, there's no way around it. And if you're not learning every single day, I always say that you have no business being here. If you're not learning or teaching or, like, as I like my favorite words too, building. You're not doing any of those things, and you're just existing.
You know, I am enjoying this topic of discussion tonight. I really am, because I know that if it hasn't helped anyone, it has helped me to kind of see, you know, it's not about being right all the time. It's not about being the most recognized or the most liked or the most loved or the most well-known. It's just about being able to help someone who may not have a voice or, you know, really don't know how to situate it or whatever the case may be. But every time you and I get a chance and just view different things that's going on in our world, it actually is a way of helping me to help someone else. And that's what it should be about, being our sister and our brother's keepers. You know, you mentioned that earlier, being that role model for the next person, setting a legacy. I feel that is very important that we teach in every instance, whether it be by way of podcast, whether it be by way of, you know, face-to-face conversation, however it is, it's all in the end about being responsible or accountable for everyone, the people that are in our circle. And this is what this platform has been made for. It has been set aside, and I thank Reverend Williams so much for setting aside this platform with Breaking Chains Young Adult Talk, because tonight chains have been broken. Shackles have been removed. When this goes out, someone is going to be at the point where they are at no, or they feel that they are at no return. And this is going to serve as a building block a team building type experience for someone who didn't have the opportunity to have a voice. And
yes,
and that's what this is what this platform is for.
Well, I so appreciate the kind words, Queen. And I will pass it along to King Bo as well. And we appreciate you all for giving us the platform. Like I said, we both sides are needed. The conversation is needed for everybody. So we need to get this narrative, just a narrative going, a positive one. Like you said, letting the walls down and breaking the chains and all that, we have to just take the wall down, like I said, and trust one another again. I know it's hard. Like I said, a lot of us have been, you know, betrayed or what have you. But I just say, I beg all of you out there within listening range to just take a chance. Take a chance on, like I said, not somebody you don't even know right now, but like I said, these friendships that we're trying to build, that we can't have the microwave friendships. Like I said, we want to see what we see on TV and this BFF stuff. You can't have that within the first week of knowing somebody and all that stuff. You just can't. You don't know what this person is like under pressure. You don't know what this person is like when they're mad. You don't know what this person is like in this situation. That takes months, that takes years, even in a relationship with your spouse. That takes years of time, and you're always learning each other. So that's something that, like I said, that instant gratification that we want as human beings, it doesn't work when in relationships. It just doesn't. And we have to get that falsehood out of our head, first of all, and be able to put in, be willing to put in the work and not just wanting to bear the fruits out of everything. We have to put in the work if we want to be able to, like I said, have these building relationships where we are making the difference in the communities and in our families, and then, like I said, just building our nation.
Good. That's really good. You made me think about something just then when you were talking, Queen. You said about removing the guard or removing the wall. Every relationship takes work. And we know that Rome wasn't built in a day. And we've heard that cliche over and over and over again. But the world was not built in one day. How do we expect to get to know someone on a level of friendship? You have to start at ground one. And you have to be willing to build together. And you also have to be willing to forgive when, you know, things aren't the way it should be or the way one think it should be. We have to be willing to communicate. And we have to be willing to let our guards down and not carry the weight of every relationship or heavy bag from previous relationships into the next one. You know, trust is a very important key to whatever it is that you build. And you just have to be willing to take that chance. In
exactly.
Everything we do, we have to be willing to take the chance. And I would like to just end tonight with just, again, thanking you, Queen, for just coming aboard and sharing with us about the main primary word that we talked about tonight, and that's accountability. It is so important, and I want you to touch your King for me and tell him that I'm sending warm thoughts and best wishes to him for a speedy recovery from that toothache that he's dealing with, because I know there's nothing like being down with a toothache. It makes your whole body ache. It's worse than a cold.
Oh, I know. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And I would definitely pass the message along. All my kings and queens out there, I appreciate you listening and supporting this evening. And love, peace, and health, everyone.
Oh, that's phenomenal. Thank you so much. Again, you're listening to Breaking Chains with Healthy Monday. We had Queen Sheena and Elder Katrina on the line. We say God bless you and keep you is our prayer. And we're going to end out tonight with a song. We thank you, and we ask you to please tune in to us again on next Monday as we come with more Healthy Monday, introducing anything that we can to keep our community strong and to build us back up to where we were once before. Take care.
Yes, right now. See you next week, everyone.
You've been listening to Breaking Chains with Healthy Monday on YAT Radio.
Tune in next week, same time.
Go to our website,
blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio, or call in
858-357-9137.
It's Breaking Chains, YAT Radio, where we leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.